Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward. Always streaming ABC on the Civic
I'm Lionel
Media
Moyes.
App.
President Biden addressing the nation, condemning the Hamas terror attacks that have left hundreds of civilians dead, including at least 14 Americans.
They use Palestinian civilians as human shields. Hamas offers nothing but terror and bloodshed with no regard. Who pays the price?
The president vowing support for Israel. Israel says its warplanes have struck more than 450 targets in Gaza, the death toll mounting on both sides with at least 900 fatalities in Gaza and 900 in Israel, among them women and children. 20 Americans at least are still reported missing. New York City is home to the largest Jewish population of any city with 1.6 million. Mayor Adams condemning the attacks at a rally.
We're not going to say we have a stiff upper lip and act like everything is fine. Everything is not fine. Israel has a right to defend himself, and that's the right that we know.
This is ABC News. A legendary Olympian is clinging to life. ABC's Daria Albinger.
Mary Lou Retton is in the intensive care unit of a Texas hospital where she's being treated for a rare form of pneumonia. Her daughter, McKenna Kelly, says the 55-year-old legendary Olympian is fighting for her life and that she cannot breathe on her own. At the 1984 Games, the then 16-year-old Retton became the first American woman gymnast to win the Olympic all-around title. Kelly started a fundraising campaign to pay for her mother's medical expenses, saying Retton does not have health insurance.
ESPN analyst Barry Melrose announced he is retiring after a Parkinson's disease diagnosis. The former NHL player and coach has been an Emmy-winning analyst for the network since 1996. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman said Melrose's gigantic personality made the game bigger, more exciting, and more entertaining. Lottery fever, the Powerball jackpot skyrocketed to $1.73 billion for Wednesday night. Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
David Drake is a professor and the Extension Wildlife Specialist at UW-Madison. Greg, tell him what you call him.
I now refer to you as Jane's birder boyfriend.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Whoa!
Now I have competition.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, God, I am wounded.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
Oh, right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Jade Monkey, Diamond Crute, we're going to be there. Live broadcast, party all night.
That's right. The tour stops in Madison at the Jade Monkey on Cottage Grove Road Tuesday, October 17th. It all starts with a live broadcast at 4.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. The day after for me,
Happy Tuesday, Crudy.
It's a Tuesday that feels a little bit like a Sunday morning.
Well, welcome back, man. Good to see you. Nate, work on the board. Our fair audience. Happy, happy Tuesday to us all.
Dominic, I never thought I would see a Tuesday where I led the show by saying, I agree with the choker guy.
I know. What's going on in this world, Crudy?
We'll tell you in just a moment. First and foremost, got to find guests coming up a little bit later. She is Minority Leader Melissa Agar joining us at 4:30. And we'll ask her about this and many fine issues that I'm like justice, former justice. So is he a justice emeritus? What do you get to keep the title? Like,
no,
if you retire.
Oh, no.
So David Prosser.
Choker.
Still the choker in your life,
man. You know what I mean? I mean, when you think of David Prosser, what do you think of?
Choking.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I'm not, you know, trying to like pound the point, but yeah, man, that's the guy who inadvertently or put his hands on one of his colleagues' necks.
So last night in the final drive of that Packer game, when Jordan Love threw that interception, would it be accurate to say he pulled a Prosser?
Oh, he choked. Maybe. Tough game.
We'll get to that as well. Andrew Ball at the Cap Times here locally, Dom, former justice, advises Voss not to impeach Janet Protasiewicz. I can't believe they made this public, Dom. We learned a couple of things today, and we're going to share some of it with you. Impeaching Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz is not warranted. Well, that part Dom and I sort of sensed. A conservative former justice counseled Assembly Speaker Robin Voss last week, according to records released Tuesday by a liberal watchdog group. So when I was animately raving from my hotel room in Eau Claire yesterday, Dom, you will see probably the impeachment of Protasiewicz. Unbeknownst to me, Prosser had already given advice to contradict yours truly. And I wasn't advising Robin Voss he should do it. I just thought there's a better than likely chance he would. But anyways, former state Supreme Court Justice, The choker, as he's known around here, David Prosser, is one of three former justices on the high court advising Voss on impeachment. The identity of the other two justices is not known. Well, we think we know at least one of the others. Who is it, Don? Who's the other one?
Oh, your pal, Pat Rogensack, right?
Former justice, Patience Rogensack to you. Yeah, just if you don't know the story, let me tell you the story. She dined just down the bar from me, and it was like a luncheon or brewer game was on early afternoon, sort of a late lunch for me. And she was there apparently with her husband. And at some point I noticed her. I'm like, that looks awfully familiar. But, you know, you see people out of context. You don't think,
yeah, right.
Well, there's Justice Patience Rogensack. But I'll be damned if there wasn't Justice Patience Rogensack. And so anyways, I was there with a colleague from work, and she asked, she's like, are you Patience Rogensack? She's like, I am, but people call me Pat. And, you know, me being a little snarky, and I said, some people call you Justice. And I don't know if you remember, I told you this story, but I'll tell it again just in case, because I know you got those glaring holes in your short-term memory.
Oh, we got lots of new listeners as well.
Oh, yeah. And there's new people like you, some of you, that could be listening for the very first time, didn't hear this story. So anyways, I'm at one of the finer Italian joints in Middleton. I'm sitting down the bar from then. She was still on the court, Justice Patience Rogensack. I prompted my colleague to ask her, and she said, yeah, I'm Pat. And I said, you're Justice. And she said, you're Crudy. And she was behind me. I was on, you know, a bar stool eating at the bar area, sort of a late lunch, if I hadn't mentioned that. She was having some cocktails with hors d'oeuvres. She did ask if she could get the senior discount. A frugal one, this former Supreme Court justice. But anyways, now we're in conversation of sort. And I turned to her, and her husband had preceded her towards the car, didn't realize she was stopping. And I turned to her, or she towards me, and she sort of put her hand on my shoulder and started sort of like pushing me down in the chair, like, don't stand up, don't stand up. You know, one of those sort of, it wasn't so much like a grandmotherly thing as sort of a don't stand up sort of a thing.
Do you felt like you were ready to stand up and some sort of?
Well, there's always a possibility when you turn your bar stool that you might stand up and,
all right, okay,
and be cordial. And she didn't want that. But she did recognize me, you know, charming and handsome dude that I am. She said, oh, you're Crudy. And she says, I know you. You know, basically, I know you.
I know. Your reputation precedes you, Michael.
Apparently it does with some. And she was still smiling, sort of a fake smile of sorts, Dom. And then her husband came over and she said, is everything going okay? You know, what's going on? Because she's still patting me down, like, stay, stay. And she says to her husband, oh, no, we're just talking politics. You know, Dom, it's never personal. It's only politics. So anyways, that was my little brush with former Justice Patience Rogensack. And, you know, it sort of warmed my cockles to know she knows me. She knows. So anyways.
If I may, Your Honor, cross-examination, were you actually talking politics?
I would have been polite.
But you didn't, like politics didn't come up. I mean, you're the political guy, so I mean, perhaps that was a thing. But I mean, if she was under cross-examination, or you, Crudy, under oath, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Crudy, did you talk any politics with the former justice?
Not specifically, but by her role,
yeah.
I didn't feel it was necessary to contradict her. You know what she tells.
It's just, you know, it's interesting way to look at it when you say, "Hey, we're just, you know, like if you see a professional ball player said, we're just talking ball. Did you talk ball? No, but you know, this is the guy. If I was going to talk ball, that'd be the guy I'm talking to." It just seems like, you know, strange to me. But
it is a strange observation you make of my story. Your takeaway is you didn't actually talk politics. You just acknowledged her presence. Truly all I did. I didn't actually talk politics. But
you can't even acknowledge presence without getting political, Crudy. to those who you don't speak politics with.
I think my mere presence at the bar with her, down the bar, yeah. I think she knew at some point she would become a tidbit of a story that I would someday tell on the greatest radio show ever. And now you've heard it for a second time, Dom.
All right.
Hope I never have to tell it again. But anyways, we learned today that my down the bar Pat, let's just call her that. Pat for short. We know that she was also advising on this, Dom. We learned this today as well. I'm not sure if it's contained in the body of this work, but I learned that from the fine reporting today that I've read on this topic. But you said to me, well, patience, Rogensack, I never called her justice, that she effectively is not down for the impeachment. She, like Prosser, we call him the choker, is not down for the impeachment. And I say, well, that's not contained in the writing here. I would conjecture that my dining down the bar, Pat, patience, if you must.
Yeah.
In fact, would be down for this because I think she's a whatever it takes sort of a justice or was in her own regard because she was one of the three willing to take up Trump's arguments to throw out 200,000 absentee ballots and perhaps overturn the outcome, the will of Wisconsin voters. Let's not forget Hagedorn joined the liberals. Rogensack was down for it. My girl, Pat.
Let's see, Crudy, a little bit more of the reporting. We'll get back to this on the other side of the break, 844-967-2789. According to documents obtained by American Oversight and released on Tuesday, Prosser advised Voss that impeaching Protasiewicz would be viewed as unreasonable partisan politics. What? I mean, what does Voss do that would not be viewed as unreasonable partisan politics, I ask? Reporting continues. Some Republicans have pushed to impeach Protasiewicz if she did not step aside from a case challenging the state's legislative maps, arguing comments she made in the campaign trail prejudiced her on the redistricting. She declined to do so in a ruling on Friday, the same day the state Supreme Court announced it would hear the challenge to the legislative districts. Voss did not mention the possibility of impeachment in a Monday statement. Under the state constitution, official can be impeached only for, quote, corrupt conduct in office or for crimes and misdemeanors. Prosser said he had no evidence that Protasiewicz's conduct fell into either category and said that corrupt conduct should not be open to a mere political grievance, lest legislators embark on questionable impeachments with considerable frequency. To sum up my views, here's what Prosser said, there should be no effort to impeach Justice Protasiewicz on anything we now know. Impeachment is so serious, severe, and rare that it should not be considered unless the subject has committed a crime or the subject has committed indisputable corrupt conduct while in office.
Like choking somebody, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's corrupt conduct. It's bad conduct. I don't know about it being corrupt. But yeah, that's Prosser. That's the Republican choker Prosser telling Voss, wow, Voss, you're being way too partisan on this.
But I'm not clear that Patience Rogensack's not on Voss's side. And we don't know who the third former justice is. So as far as you know, he's got two yeses and a Prosser, a choker, easily dismissed. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
Chokers, they choke.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The Allies have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies overnight with a low of 36. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 55. Partly cloudy tomorrow night. Lows around 39. Mid-50s Thursday with a chance for scattered showers. Much cooler Friday with highs in the upper 40s. Showers continue. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 48.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
The 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the lines at 844-967-2789. Make sure you stick around. Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard will join us at the bottom of the hour.
Wisconsin Senate Minority Leader. Just so you don't think Mitch McConnell's showing up at 4:30. I know you
the
said.
Turtle.
You said. The Jordan Love Boat. Damn. I got to tell you. I enjoyed myself at the concert last night with Mrs. Scrutiny, and I did embarrass her at one moment, at least during the evening, yeah. As it was her birthday observed. And, you know, it was a smaller, intimate venue, and I had never seen this Amos Lee guy, but he was damn good. I got to tell you, best concert I saw all year. And we were kind of up front, and I was kind of doing the white guy dance a little bit, something. When my wife demonstrated, she said it was sort of the side to the head, you know, sort of the Night at the Roxbury thing I had going on. Yeah. And at some point she became a little mortified, you know, because what's the thing? Dance like nobody's looking at you. But with this big melon head in the front row, literally everybody could see me. And she was not proud.
Good story, Mike.
Well, that was the great part of the list.
I mean, how many times has your wife not been proud of you, Curdy? Was that just the first time?
Oh, yeah. Far from the 21 years, dude. Far from the first time that I have embarrassed Mrs. Scrutiny. But happy birthday, hon. I hope she had a great birthday. And then I dragged her into a sports bar. And one other thing I'd point out, we were at the Pablo Center, and the artist came out and he said, the Pablo Center or the Paul Center. You know what I mean? Like it was sort of dry humor. I thought it was funny, but we went to this beautiful venue, the Pablo Center in Eau Claire. And I told you, I bought a round of drinks, you know, just the wife and I, and a couple of snacks, $21. I came back for many more. I knowing that
what?
Effectively, that was like three drinks and a couple of snacks, $21, man, that is a value. If you're going to the Pablo Center, tell them Crudy said shouldn't have to, because it is a drinking value. But then I had to hustle off to a sports bar and see the end of the Packer game last night. And I was hopeful. You and I have sort of a standing thing going here. And you apparently are keeping score of such a thing. But at the end, the only thing I really saw was the fourth quarter drive when, you know, you're hopeful and you think, oh man, the Packers, they're about to score. They're about to go ahead. They're about to win this game. And Love threw his third interception of the game. No touchdowns last night. He's got a passer rating in the month of October of under 33.
Oh, damn.
That can't be good. That cannot be good.
It's higher than Aaron Rodgers.
It might be too soon. It might be.
But that's tough. Tough to win game. Well, and that's something. Even at that point, crew, there was still hope in the air, man. I mean, they were still down. If they scored a touchdown, they would have won the game.
I know. But they didn't.
No, they didn't.
And it was deflating. And now, you know, I owe you. And, oh, man. And I've got this boat I've named after the guy. You know, so I got a vested interest in how this season goes. Not just, you know, with you, but also, you know, sort of bragging rights. I get in the Jordan Love boat. I got to get her in the water at least one more time this year, Dom.
You're running out of time, man.
Well, a couple more interceptions. If he's in Fields territory, if his stat line starts looking like the Chicago Bears quarterback, I might have to, you know, there's a little plug in the back of the boat. I might have to roll her off the ramp, the plug out.
Just send her out to sea, put some gasoline, have some, you know, flaming arrows to shoot at it like the old Vikings, and they love you, baby.
It's fiberglass. I'm less clear what the outcome.
No, it's just totally fine. It works. It's fine. Let's just try it. It'll be great, man. It's a really, really pretty colors when it burns.
I tell you what, Dom. I'll put you in the fiberglass boat someday for your funeral pier, tier, whatever they call it.
My funeral pyre.
Hopefully I'll be at yours and you won't be at mine.
Hopefully they're not at the same time.
But anyways, I'll put you in a fiberglass boat to burn, because they'll never forget that smell.
Oh, poor Packers. Tough beginning of the season. But the good news is my Lions are looking really strong.
Yeah, that's not great news either. We're in the same division. We're under 500. I think the Packers are going to a bye week, right? And the Brewers were out of the playoffs in 27 hours, felt like 27 minutes. And, you know, so I got like the Badgers. We play Iowa this weekend. I'm looking forward
Bucks
to that game.
Six, baby. I told you it's basketball season.
The preseason has begun across the Civic Media Network, six different markets, but I'm not thinking that hard. I had a few too many last night, Dom. So
yes.
I'm not going to try to pull out of the recesses of my brain or anywhere else all the different places where you can listen to Bucks basketball, but let's just say it's six of them. Dom, the Jordan Love boat, it's still floating on the right side for now. My fear is if I did set it on fire, it would float back to me. It would burn down my pier, maybe my house, or it would float over to the neighbors. And you know, because I publicly said it's my boat, right? Everyone, oh, that's an ugly green and yellow boat. That's Crudy's love boat. So anyways, Melissa Agard. It'll take a better tone. I can tell the show's going to get better right now, Dom, with the addition of a fine guest. We're going to do some adulting now. We've got the Senate Minority Leader from the great state of Wisconsin. She's Melissa Agard. Stick around. I'm sure you will.
Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. President Biden addressing the nation, condemning the Hamas terror attacks that have left hundreds of civilians dead, including at least 14 Americans.
They use Palestinian civilians as human shields. Hamas offers nothing but terror and bloodshed with no regard Who pays the price?
The president vowing support for Israel. Israel says its warplanes have struck more than 450 targets in Gaza, the death toll mounting on both sides with at least 900 fatalities in Gaza and 900 in Israel, among them women and children. 20 Americans at least are still reported missing. New York City is home to the largest Jewish population of any city with 1.6 million. Mayor Adams condemning the attacks at a rally.
We're not going to say we have a stiff upper lip and act like everything is fine. Everything is not fine. Israel has a right to defend himself, and that's the right that we know.
This is ABC News.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes! Melissa, that was like 12 years ago! What do you think the hang-up is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
We've been waiting for this moment, and we still don't know what to say. We may never.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Monday edition. Dom, I'm on the road. People trying to figure out what's on the wall behind me. Someone said, I was reading the text line. Someone said, is that a wall of swords behind you?
Old skis, man.
No, cross-country skis.
Okay.
Sort of a little boutique-y place here, staying with Mrs. Crudy at the Oxbow Hotel in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I'm up here for an Amos Lee. And also, it's not officially her birthday, more of her birthday observed. We're spending her birthday present now, which was tickets to Amos Lee.
All right.
So, Mrs. Crudy, birthday observed, but apparently it's Pete's birthday. A glorious day. Happy birthday to you, Pete. But sorry if I confused you at all. And you as well, Andrew from Verona, who thought I was sitting here Game of Thrones style.
Yeah.
We do have some that have noted the politics we're talking about on the show, and you can always contribute here at 844 867-2789. Dom handling the phones. I'll just handle the super coolness over on this end. I'll just read a couple of the text line submissions. I think impeaching Janet will be jumping the shark for Voss and the gang. Yeah. I think if they, you know, from the old happy days,
totally.
When Fonzie jumped the shark in that black leather jacket, Dom.
Yeah. He was the coolest man. Hey.
Well, right up until that point, and that's why it's called literally jumping the shark, is because that's when you know it's no longer cool. Fonzie wasn't cool anymore. Nobody wears a leather coat surfing. Or, pardon me, water skiing.
Yes.
Maybe our boy Lenny Mattioli would have, but no one else. Anyways, back to the texter. Here is what they say. I think impeaching Janet would be jumping the shark for Voss and the gang. I think if they go down that road, it will not only cost them the court again, but probably the presidential and next gov elections as well. Janet won in a Wisconsin landslide. She's very popular. People are starting to pay attention. I don't disagree, Wes from Middleton. Thanks for listening. But here's the problem. With all your rationale and reason, all Voss cares about is Voss's power. And Voss's power comes from the gerrymandered legislative maps. All the other stuff you're talking about, statewide races, be it for the, you know, the state Supreme Court or the governor's race or the electoral college part of the, you know, Wisconsin's contribution to the presidential race, those are all statewide races. And Republicans, you know, are starting to realize they cannot win those races because they've got worse candidates and worse ideas done.
Yeah.
But when it comes time to the legislative races, Robin Voss still goes out there and makes the claim, we've got better candidates and better ideas, and really what he's got is rigged maps. But if you give up that advantage, Dom, if they have to fight on the battle of governance and good ideas, they're never going to win another election. Are you freaking kidding me?
New York Times also picked this up last week. Reed Epstein, Julie Bozeman. I'm going to jump just briefly down into the body of the piece. Recusal decisions are controlled by law, Justice Protasiewicz wrote in her 47-page decision to remain on the case. 47 pages! That's a lot of yourself. You know what I mean?
I could have done it in one word. Nope.
No. She goes on to write, more eloquently than the devil's advocates, they are not a matter of personal preference. If precedent requires it, I must recuse. But if precedent does not warrant recusal, my oath binds me to participate. As quoted in the New York Times, Justice Annette Ziegler, one of the court's three conservative justices, said this, quote, four members of this court have chosen to chip away at the public's faith in the judiciary as an independent, impartial institution. Undermine foundational judicial principles such as stare decisis and cast a hyper-partisan shadow of judicial bias over the decisions of this court. Oh my God, projection much, Ziegler? Such short-sighted behavior demonstrates the court's majority's sheer will to expedite a preconceived outcome for a particular constituency. This abandonment of their judicial oath is disappointing. Wow.
Where is the abandonment of any judicial oath? Because I didn't see any of your conservative colleagues recuse for any reasons, be it financial or relationships. Didn't Ziegler's husband have actions before the court? Or do I confuse her with the bad Bradley?
Yes. Listen, we could do the Google search, but don't trust me on this one. Ziegler, well, I know, that's a lot of projection.
I know sure as hell. Mr. Prosser didn't recuse himself. Hagedorn didn't recuse himself in regards to any of them, nor did the bad Bradley recuse themselves, despite stating very specific objections to homosexuality and any other thing relating to LGBTQ, right? They've shown themselves to be very homophobic in their personal opinions, but they were still allowed to cast votes upon the court, Don, without any threat of impeachment. So you can text us, you can call us, 844-967-2789. I hope the Dems are ready, because this is supposed to be a nonpartisan seat. But of course,
these justices are no longer nonpartisans in the eyes of the electorate. So this is a Dem team member, right? And the Dems have raised some money. My understanding, there's like $4 billion that have been raised. And I can give you a little insight as a radio guy. There are specific senators being targeted with ads on the radio. I know, because some of them are going out in different districts that we play out here in civic media. Here's the point. They're going to do it, Dom. And then it's got to go over to the Senate side. And they would need every Republican on board to pull it off, to push forth with this accelerated timeline, because it only really, really, really makes sense if you can get it done before December 1st. And you can't force her to resign. She, of course, would have every incentive to resign after December 1st, because then the Evers appointments for 6-7 years. But if they can get her out between now and December 1st, that would be all the impetus that Robin Voss and these Republicans would need. But that would take a lot of whatever the opposite of courage is on behalf of these Republicans, a lot of gall, because it would take every Republican senator. But I think Kapinga, I think Dewey Strobel, I mean, Andre Schock, I go through the whole, I can't think of any Republican senator of conscience.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, well, I hope that none of these Republicans ever get another meal that's unspitting when they go in the city of Madison. But,
that's got to be a health code violation.
Right, come on.
Well, we don't need no health codes. I mean, those are Republicans. That's free. That's a free market. I mean, the, you know, maybe those guys like a little spit in their succotash or whatever they're getting served up. I mean, it's ridiculous to be going after. I mean, that maybe Protasiewicz could resign, right? Resign now and then after, and Tony puts a replacement in, and after December 1st, that replacement resigns, and he reappoints Janice Protasiewicz as the justice. Then no need for a special election, because we'd have a sitting Supreme Court justice. I mean, maybe that's a little too political. It shouldn't happen in the first place. But none of these Republicans, a lot of these guys came out of Christian colleges, where supposedly the Ten Commandments are the big thing, and this whole impeachment thing. In my opinion, and I'm not a religious scholar, but isn't that a violation of the bearing false witness thing? And that's one of the big sins. That, and they should all be concerned about, the guy they took that oath to.
The afterlife. They got the power here.
Right. And all you got to do is say you're sorry on Sunday. You can do it all over again. Ain't that nice? Thanks for the call, Mark. Happy days. 844-967-2789. I mean, that's a big ask to get done between now and December 1st, Gertie.
Dominic, I'm going to read this text on the WMDX line because they agree with me. I agree with Crudy. I'm afraid they will go that way that will hurt us the most, which would be to impeach to keep the maps. They will give Dems a lot of motivation if they impeach her, and some Republicans will lose their jobs, but most will keep theirs to give up power. And Dom, you got to stop thinking these Republicans have a conscience. They don't want to represent us. They want to rule us. Well texted. Indeed.
Sure. Okay. But you know, when you make terrible decisions and you end up losing seats and ultimately don't impact the maps long-term, this is going to come up, right? I mean, there's a lot of calculation. She won by 200,000 votes. Nothing's changed. In fact, I would suggest that it's gotten worse off for Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin just based on the threats of doing this, all the phone calls. I mean, they backed off this stuff. Same with Megan Wolf, at least to a degree. All the phone calls, everyone going out there calling, call your senator, call your legislature, tell them, do not impeach.
Backed off? What the hell are you talking about? They haven't backed off anything.
They haven't done it, man. Why would
they do it? They've already voted to remove her. They're waiting on a lawsuit before they impeach because they don't need to do the double dutch.
I'm talking about Jenna Protasiewicz. They have the power. They haven't done it yet. Why do you think that is?
Why? Because first he was trying to create some sort of cover fire with the false panel of the Prosser and perhaps two others.
How'd that go? How's that working out? I mean, come on, man.
You know what?
I mean, yeah. What?
It's ultimately going to come down to whether or not Robin Voss has the quote-unquote courage, the whether or not he desires to cling to power so desperately that he's willing to sacrifice pieces of his own caucus because it's in the greater good of his power and the Republican caucus to impeach her than to let justice and democracy play itself out, because they lose. They're done playing by electoral rules. Remember your Greg Gutfield? Elections don't work for them anymore. They keep losing.
The to delay the further loss by what? 60 days, 90 days, 180
forever?
Days.
Again, if they think that they can twist this.
You say this is going to happen. Yes, Robin Voss is going to do it. He's going to slam it through 50% plus one. Then the Senate's going to take it up. And it's all going to happen. And vote all in lockstep to impeach her. And this is all going to get done within the next less than 8 weeks. That's what you're telling me is going to happen. Then they're going to have a special election. And then the Republicans are going to put forth a strong, solid candidate who would never, ever take any Republican money or have an opinion about anything ever. And Janet Protasiewicz or whoever the Dems put up or whoever runs as a liberal, whoever runs and gets the support of the Dems and independents in the state, that they're going to lose, even though Protasiewicz won by 200,000 votes in April. This all has to happen. This is what you're telling me is success for Robin Voss. And I'm
success.
Telling you, there's too many variables in there where it can go south for Robin Voss. That's why he's not going to take the
win. I think the ultimate success, sure, would be winning back the seat. But something short of that is still success for Robin Voss. If you can set back the recasting of the maps even 2 years, that's two more years. He's in power, Dom. I mean, 2 years for Robin Voss, a lot can happen in 2 years politically, right?
Yeah, likely. Yes, absolutely.
You know, hell, you could win back the governor's mansion. You could do a lot of things in two more years. So
but you're not going to change the
ultimate
the court,
victory
of the court from 4-3. You're not going to change unless you start impeaching everybody. Now the legislature, hell, I got the
only
votes.
Takes
I
one.
Can go and impeach. It I can impeach
only,
anybody now.
It
that's
going
to be the new math. You think that's going to be the new governance, the new plan for Republicans in the state of Wisconsin? If they lose an April special election by forcing the unjustified impeachment of Janet Protasiewicz and lose that, they're going to start keep impeaching justices? Come on, man. That's ridiculous. That's not going to happen.
I'm not saying they're going to continuously do it.
Well,
said they're going to do it the first
why
time.
Why wouldn't you? If it lost the second time, what would stop them?
Because at some point they're going to win an election, then they're going to recast their lot on the world for another decade, like Scott Walker did. Look at the lame duck, dude. What part of their prior governance over the last 6, 8, 12 years that we've watched up close and personal would lead you to indicate they're going to do anything that is the right thing? The right thing for them is take power, hamstring your opponent, and screw the voters.
The right thing is also not to lose too much power and manage and do a soft landing. If you put your head in the chipper, you know, it doesn't matter if the rest of your body gets out, man. That's the problem.
It doesn't matter what the vote is. They win a 2/3 majority. That's the rigged map effect.
Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates. Come back, 844-967-2789. Taking your calls next.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies overnight with a low of 36. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 55 tomorrow. Mainly cloudy. Lows level off around 39 tomorrow night. Partly cloudy skies. Mid-50s Thursday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Turning much cooler Friday with highs in the upper 40s. Chance for showers continues. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 48.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open. Join us anytime at 844-967-2789 or just download the Civic Media app. You can click on a button and it'll automatically text or call at your convenience.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one. She was Melissa Agard, and she's a friend of ours, state senator, minority leader for the Democratic Party in the state Senate. And Dom, I asked for the Badger theme music. You know, when you say Wisconsin, you've said it all, fella. But there's one alumni, and I was at the homecoming game on Saturday with my sons, and I was looking for one letter winner, one man out there on the field, and I didn't see him. He was conspicuous in his absence, but he was a great athlete at UW, a wrestler, but it's been all downhill since then. John Nichols, our pal over at the Cap Times, writes, Jim Jordan is proof that UW can graduate right-wing zealots.
See?
Conservatives have been claiming for decades that the University of Wisconsin-Madison is brainwashing young people to make them liberals. The problem with that claim is some of the most right-wing figures in American politics are UW grads. Just look at Republican Donald Trump tapped as his choice to serve as Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, the Ohio Republican who got Trump's blessing, blessing in the race to replace ousted Speaker Kevin McCarthy, graduated from UW in 1986 with a degree in economics and a record as a two-time NCAA Division I wrestling champion for the school. His later career as an Ohio State wrestling coach who allegedly failed to report sexual abuse remains the subject of ongoing controversy. Not only did he fail to report it, he begged people to shut up about it because he wanted to run for Congress. So Jordan's a Badger, but he's no liberal. Just ask Liz Cheney, the former House Republican Conference chair who lost her seat in a 2022 Wyoming Republican primary after rejecting Trump's attempt to overturn the 2020 presidential. Like her father, former VP Dick Cheney, hated that guy. Liz Cheney is an old school social conservative and foreign policy hawk. But as everyone knows, she broke with Trump in 2021 and became one of the sharpest critics of the Trump-aligned faction of extreme right-wingers that now dominates the party of Lincoln. And Cheney places Jordan squarely in the extremist camp, where House Republicans, to make him speaker, Cheney argued in an October 4th speech at the University of Minnesota, it would be an ominous development for her party and the country. Here's her quote, Dom. If they were to decide that Jim Jordan should be Speaker of the House, she warned, there would be no longer be any possible way to argue that a group of elected Republicans could be counted on to defend the Constitution.
Ouch. John Nichols writes further, in reality, the notion that elected Republicans are inclined as a group to defend the Constitution went out the window long ago. Cheney was a part of the problem when she chaired the House Republican Conference and served as one of the most hawkish members of a chamber that regularly rejected its constitutional duty to check and balance presidential war-making and abuses of civil liberties. Cheney actually voted with Trump on a slightly more frequent basis than Jordan, though notably the paper trail of Jordan's rival in the speakership race, Louisiana Rep. Steve Scalise, was slightly more favorable to Trump. What Trump has always liked about Jordan is the Ohioan's bombastic approach to politics. As a founding member of the right-wing House Freedom Caucus, Jordan was once dismissed as a political terrorist by former House Speaker John Boehner. I never saw a guy who spent more time tearing things apart, never building anything, never putting anything together, said Boehner. Cheney's specific concerns about Jordan are rooted in the bitter experiences of her final term in the House when she and a handful of other Republicans tried to hold the former president to account for his efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election, which he lost to Democrat Joe Biden. Yes, Trump lost, people! Both Jordan and Scalia were on the wrong side of that fight, but Cheney, the former co-chair of the House Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol, argues, quote, Jim Jordan knew more about what Donald Trump had planned for January 6th than any other member of the House of Representatives. Jim Jordan was involved, was part of the conspiracy in which Donald Trump was engaged as he attempted to overturn the election. Jordan, who was also involved, that he reportedly discussed the prospect, was so involved, he was so involved, Crudy, he reportedly discussed the prospect of Trump issuing preemptive pardons to former president congressional allies. The congressman went on to become one of Trump's most ardent defenders during his second impeachment in 2021. That gave Cheney plenty of reason to oppose Jordan, and it gave Trump just as many reasons to support him. So it came as no surprise within hours of Cheney's warning, Trump rejected overtures from House allies who wanted him to seek the speakership and endorsed Jordan's bid. Quote, he will be a great speaker of the House, declared Trump, adding, he is strong on crime, borders, our military and vets, and Second Amendment, unquote. The choice between Scalise and Jordan was never going to be an ideological one. To the former president's view, it was a loyalty test, and Jordan's biggest selling point was that he was stronger on Trump than any top Republican in the House. Jordan abused his authority as Judiciary Committee chair so egregiously that attorneys for Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg alleged that he had engaged in a campaign of intimidation, retaliation, and obstruction in order to undermine efforts to prosecute Trump, who currently faces 91 criminal indictments and in a number of jurisdictions. And of course, Jordan has been leading the effort to impeach Trump's likely opponent in the 2024 presidential race, President Joe Biden, on charges so spurious that constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley, a frequent GOP witness on issues related to presidential accountability, told the House Oversight Committee he did not believe the current evidence would support articles of impeachment. If Jordan prevails in a speakership bid, the impeachment inquiry will likely proceed more aggressively than it had under McCarthy, who faced criticism from conservatives for his hesitancy regarding the initiative. Even if Jordan were to get the House to vote to impeach Biden, which is not guaranteed, the prospects for a conviction in the Democratic Senate would be slim. But it's worth noting that Jordan's bid for the speakership raised the prospect that a UW economics grad could not just could be not just the most powerful Republican in Washington, but second in line of the presidential succession after Vice President Kamala Harris. Wow, what a thought. John Nichols at the Cap Times reporting.
Well, Wanker, the former gubernator of the state of Wisconsin, says, you know, they're indoctrinating the kids. Is that what they did to the Jim Jordan? Did he get indoctrinated at the UW? You know, I'm proud of the grads. I'm proud of the alums. Less so this one. This guy has put a stain on the entire Badger Nation. I hate to say it, but, you know, technically, I'm just a fan. You and I are UWL alums.
Yeah, go lacrosse, screaming Eagles, baby. Ah!
As mentioned, they did beat Whitewater this weekend. So all the Whitewater grads, you know, suck it. Sorry. Come back with us, a happier happy hour indeed, the Tuesday edition, and you could be a part. All you gotta do is dial the phone 844-967-2789. More Devil's Advocates. When you say Devils, you've said it all.
You
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Lionel.